Today on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Oscar's dad's been in country for a very, very long time, but yes. I guess
the longest
it's time
he's ever been in a calendar year.
In your whole life?
Probably.
Wow.
It's so strange.
That's crazy.
Imagine having that type of father. I wonder why I'm broken.
Oh.
No, I'm fine.
I don't see my dad a lot.
You really don't.
He didn't even as a child.
Well, he was around a lot for the first few years.
Oh, were you looking forward to a full head of hair?
I don't know. First of all, I'm skeptical. That's what I do. I'm a skeptic. But she has documentation and many, many instances
it be great
where
after the procedure, like if we did it on a Friday, you came in on Monday and you looked like early era Cato Kaelin.
Why'd you pay for tickets to a Patton
We all
show?
Do. They well, were, we do. We hate asking for free stuff from him.
It was a gift from Carrie, actually.
And so he sits his big ass melon head right in front of me.
Oh, and Rob sat in front of you?
Directly in front of me. It was like someone put up a billboard with stubble on it right in front of me.
All that and more. The Mike O'Mara Show starts now. Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment. You can listen to The Mike O'Mara Show at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Let's get started.
It's The Mike O'Mara Show with Mike O'Mara, Oscar Santana, and Rob Spiewak. Now, here's Mike.
Hi, everybody. How you doing? Welcome to The Mike O'Mara Show. We are glad to have you along. Cass, West Virginia. Hi. Lahaina, Hawaii. York Springs, Pennsylvania. Nampa, Idaho. Hooksett, New Hampshire. And Charleroi, Belgium. Those are just some of the cities we're talking about this week on The Mike O'Mara Show. Oscar, I got to tell you, we read the same article. It makes you kind of feel special as a podcaster. That we read an article. Oscar and I read the same article that you hear about how many people are doing podcasts.
Right.
Well, the overwhelming majority of these podcasts are one and dones.
Yeah.
Like they don't get any traction and they don't. Is that because they just don't take it seriously or they figure that it's harder to do than they thought it was? Or
it's just what, it was meant to be a hobby. The article Mike is referring to just came out yesterday where so Apple touts that there's 2 million podcasts that have been published. And when you hear 2 million, you're like, whoa.
Is that episodes or actual like series?
Actual podcasts.
Wow.
Podcasts. Not episodes.
Wow.
Like with a title and a picture, etc.
That's crazy.
But if you extrapolate, let's say, at least these are their numbers, podcasts that have more than one episode that weren't just one and done, that's 44% of the total 2 million that's left. And then if you go deeper on podcasts that have over 10 episodes that aren't meant to be episodic, that number plummets. So the cream of the crop is actually winning. It's top heavy. That's
well,
what it is.
And then I wonder, because the statistic wasn't given, where how many what's the percentage of podcasts that have done 1 million episodes like we have? That's what I was curious
it's called
about.
Like, staying power.
Staying power. That's what I'm hearing. And turn him up a little bit after all that work. It seems like he's still soft to me.
I feel like I'm getting sabotaged by
Pony. Pony, are you doing something?
No, I have nothing to do with this.
When things go astray,
hands on your lap.
It's nice to actually blame you for everything. Anyway, I deprived you guys of a treat. We were ready to go, and it didn't pan out. And I'll tell you why. So, Mrs. O'Mara is doing. Oh, I thought that almost sounded like a phone ringer just there.
Marimba.
Mrs. O'Mara prepared me for a micro needling.
Oh, that's right. That's
the top of my head.
Now, is that like a separate certification or is that included under
her?
Yeah,
well,
they're
umbrella. All separate. You got to get training on all this stuff.
Sure.
And she has a lot of it. She's got tons of certificates because she takes courses to learn how to do the various things that an esthetician does.
Right.
You get your basic package being an esthetician, and that's a long period of time to, it's not going out to, become a brain surgeon.
But you have to master the and then actually get out there and work.
You have to learn about skin and you have to learn about what reactions and allergic reactions are. And then there are different things. Well, this microneedling is a rejuvenating process that she has done. And during a discussion one evening, she said, and they also use it for regrowth of hair. And I went, Oh. And it was just curious. I said, well, I mean, what kind of hair? Well, she said, if you're bald,
What kind of hair?
Well, what? I mean, if you're like, for example, Rob, you have spots on your head where it wouldn't work.
Yes, of course.
Because the hair, like you can see that there's a poof of hair
I got this
on the crown of your forehead.
Weird sort of Polish widow's peak here that just is wrong.
Calling that a widow's peak is... an overstatement.
There's no hair there.
Yeah, well,
It's a patch of baldness. It's a patch of limited hair surrounded by baldness. The microneedling where you're bare up there would not work. If you have thinning hair and you still have hair activity, that's what this is for. So we were ready to go. We actually went down to her office, got these different serums that she was going to use on my dome. She received... some stuff in the mail yesterday that she uses for this. It's a specialty microneedling for the scalp. So she did. And then, of course, I was getting ready to, you know, go with it and come in today, and hilarity would ensue as you're watching me do that, when suddenly it occurred to me that I have my shot today. And this is something where you stimulate the scalp with a reaction so that your collagen is produced. And so... you really don't want to do that on the day you're getting your second Pfizer vaccine, which I am today. So that's that. I'll do it maybe sometime next week.
Well, she's really stepping up her game. What's the next step after the microneedling?
There's dermaplaning.
There's plenty of rejuvenations.
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 How was that again, Oscar?
Rejuvenifications.
Rejuvenifications.
There's a place called Rejuvenation that sells high-end home goods. Don't go there. Too expensive.
Mike, this July, if you want to relive the previous month, I recommend a rejuvenification.
Thank you.
What government was it that was celebrating their rejuvenification? that's one of the great ones. So, but anyhow, no microneedling today. I'll let you know when it's coming up.
Were you looking forward to a full head of hair?
I don't know. First of all, I'm skeptical. That's what I do. I'm a skeptic. But she has documentation and many instances where...
after the procedure, like if we did it on a Friday, you came in on Monday, and you looked like early era Cato Kalin.
Suddenly it was
so
long.
Funny.
Yes, over beautiful, beautiful.
You stole my bit. I just thought of that bit. Anywho, we'll let you know about that. Let's bring in our talking head.
Good.
Jason Griffinhagen. Griffinhagen?
Snagelston? No, just like it's spelled. Griffinhagen.
Just like it's spelled. Jason Griffinhagen. Jason has a classic Virginia heritage.
Yes.
He was born in Manassas, raised in Woodbridge, and he currently resides in Falls Church with his wife. And that's all Virginia, folks, for those of you that don't know Virginia. With his wife of 11 years, Meg, she's a teacher, and his 8-year-old son, Sean, we can commiserate on that. He is a video production guy at Sunny Moon Productions,
which he co-owns.
Yes.
We can get a critique on our video.
Please.
Let's see here. Jason has 2 Boston Terriers. Your doggies from Boston. Titus. Is that Titus or Brutus, Jason?
This is Brutus right here.
Oh, look at Brutus.
Good.
I adore the breed now. I adore. That looks like an oldster, maybe. Either a very young dog or a very old dog. You can't tell.
They're 11 and 10 years old, so.
Oh, man. Jason's had Boston Terriers his whole life. Always in pairs. I'd get another one in a heartbeat. Don't tell Carla that, but I would. Here's a fun fact. Jason started listening at age 8, and his son is also starting to listen to us right now at age 8. But let me do something for your son. Hold on. Let me see if I can do it. Every day. There it is. Oh, that's a little one. There's your son.
Hi, Sean.
Hey, how you doing,
Hi,
buddy?
Hi, Sean.
Sean, what's happening? How are you?
Good.
You want to hear it?
That's good.
You see what this is? Can you see this, Sean?
What is that?
It's called the pooter, and it makes fart sounds. I'm going to try to make one with my hand right now. Hold on. Oh, you know, I'm so bad at it.
You got to get more saliva on it.
Yeah.
You know what? I can't do it. I think it's a terrible product.
No,
how do you like that? There you go. That's the final nail in the Jack Vale coffin. Jack
Vale exploded.
What's that?
This is breaking news in the house, Mike. Yeah. Sean wanted to share this with you.
Oh, what? One of our dog's butts exploded.
Oh no!
Little explosive diarrhea or something like that.
One of his dogs. Yes.
No. Our older dog had a blocked anal gland, and he got an abscess.
Oh God!
Good morning, everybody.
Oh, hey, how's that morning strudel? Ah, wow. A blocked anal gland.
Thank you,
and then
Sean.
You're drinking that, and then you're drinking that like coffee out of a clear glass.
Yeah, I hope it's coffee.
I'm gonna throw up in my mouth right
Send
now.
Send that right down to the labs.
Jason will back me up on this when I say that Boston Terriers, not only it's the greatest dog I've ever had contact with, and I've lived a long life, and I will tell you, this terrier is my. I could take pictures of this dog every day, but then I'd be Steve Bridges, and I don't want to do that. All right. So this dog is spectacular, but there's one thing that they are known for, and my God, it is the worst flatulence you will ever experience with a canine. And it's not the because. And by the way, they're not really loud because you know people do loud toots.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But the odor is horrible. Do you find that to be the case with most of your Bostons that you've had throughout your life?
Yeah. Yeah, it's because of their short snouts. So when they eat, they inhale a lot of air. So that's why they're very gaseous.
It's common. Oh, wow. It's common with a lot
that's
of smush.
A nice factoid, Jason.
Smush-faced dogs, right? Does a beluga probably had some gas issues, right?
Yeah, but nothing compared to the terrier.
Well, bigger
and the terrier,
dog, yeah.
The breathing for the terrier is even with a pug that had that kind of breathing issue. Jason will back me up here. Boston Terriers are just like always going. It's just constant, yeah. You know. It really they're phenomenal dogs. Let me get through your bio here. From 1991 to 1995, he attended the Thomas Jefferson School for Science and Technology. We got another egghead here. Mm-hmm. The Magnet School in Alexandria, Virginia. During the long bus rides, he had the show on in his Walkman, and even tried to pick up WJFK's lousy signal during the eighth period guitar club. After graduating from one of the finest STEM-based high schools in the nation, Jason went to Penn State to study film. He studied film at Penn State.
Yep.
Because, what was it, Reservoir Dogs? Is that what got you, or was it Pulp Fiction? You were inspired by Tarantino, I know.
Both of them, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, and great, amazing. You know, it's I love Tarantino. I can watch Tarantino films. Hateful Eight, not my favorite. Anyway, after 4 years of study with a professor who thought every move was about communism, Jason graduated with a bachelor's in film and the realization that he didn't really like movie making. Well, sure, the people paid for your education are happy about that. Let's see. He skipped out on Hollywood and returned to Virginia to work in production. Production assistant jobs as a video guy at Marymount University. Luckily, this allowed him to perform his two-man glam punk band, Death by Sexy. They wore feather boas, makeup, and Jason, what the hell is wrong with you? You get a film degree, and now you're doing a glam punk show? Jesus, Death by Sexy.
It's a performer.
Yeah, entertainer.
He calls, I love this little paragraph here. He calls our departure from WJFK devastating.
Mm.
Yes.
True.
But after searching, he found the podcast days after our debut and has never missed an episode. Bonus included, you rock. We appreciate that.
You know, interesting fact about him, he figures out the day we tape our bonus show and actually listens to the shows in sequence. So even if the bonus show drops on a Friday, but we recorded it earlier, he puts it in the queue on the day it was recorded for perfect linearity. He is.
Can you give me that again, please?
You know, we don't necessarily post our shows in the order in which they are taped. Sometimes the bonus show is taped a couple days in advance.
I'm aware of that.
So yes. He figures this out and listens to them in sequence because he is, if possibly, even more OCD
he will,
than
like,
me.
We will tape a show and then do a bonus show, and he will listen to that one.
Exactly. Exactly.
And then listen to the regular Friday show.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah.
If we tape it
on Thursday, he'll listen to it on Thursday.
We're taping our bonus show. Yeah. We usually tape on Thursday. That's when we do. But then again, Jason, you know that. let's see. Rob almost ruined your night at a Patton Oswalt show. Can you explain what happened with that?
Yeah, so I sat down getting ready to watch Patton Oswalt, and who do I see walking up the aisle? But it's Rob Spiewak.
Yay. Of course you'd see him there. Free tickets.
No, I paid for those, actually.
You did not.
I swear to Christ, I did.
You paid for tickets to a Pat. Why'd you pay for tickets to a Pat?
We all do. We hate asking for free stuff from him.
It was a gift from Carrie, actually.
Oh, well, I hate asking for free stuff. Mm.
Yeah.
All right, go ahead. Sorry.
And so he sits his big ass melon head right in front of me.
Oh,
and
Rob sat in front of you?
Directly in front of me. It was like someone put up a billboard with stubble on it right in front of me.
Wow. Wow. Where was the venue? What was the venue? Because I like to know these things. So I
it was
can
the
get
Warner, wasn't it?
It was Warner, yeah.
Yeah.
Warner Theater. Warner. Yeah, Theater. Old theater. So, I mean, you know, it's not like those modern theaters where you can see.
No, it
you know,
wasn't
somebody
stadium
with a giant
seating.
Cranium sits in front of you. Oh, which is worse, Rob sitting in front of you or sitting next to RJ at an old stadium? Ooh. I'm not sure. I'm not sure which is worse.
Like if you went to go see the Portland Sea Dogs and maybe you were seated between RJ and Rob Ford.
What did I go to? Was it a Capitals game that I went to with the? I know Capitals with Rob Ford,
right?
But with RJ, there was a worse experience.
To opening day. Opening day. We saw Strasburg pitch for the very first time. Killer game.
Oh, I don't even know if that's what I know. It was just me and RJ at some function, and we were on kind of a
it
seam
was speed
in the
dating.
Stadium.
Wasn't it speed dating?
Yeah, it was speed dating. Thank you. Your favorite voice is Uncle Cartoon. Oh my God, it taxes me too much. Anyway, his son's favorite voice, Winslow from Boston. Hey, I'm sorry about the anal gland. Pass along my sympathies. But his favorite thing about the show. It's how beautiful we are.
That's very sweet. The man's lying.
Intrigued? Sweet. You should be. But now here's Jason. Jason, how beautiful we are? Is there something to that? Although I could leave it. I could leave it.
I'm talking about your souls.
Thank you.
Beautiful souls. All
Thank
three
you
of
clarifying
you.
Clarifying that.
It's very nice, well, I think.
That's fascinating, Death by Sexy. I really appreciate that. That is truly you know, special.
Mike brought up something very interesting, and we didn't even discuss it in the pre-interview, is when you came back from Pennsylvania, came back from State College, and you had a degree in film, and you decided to not really pursue it, what was your family's reaction?
They were just happy that I got a job somewhere, really.
Okay. I get that. Mm-hmm. And I think your degree in film probably contributes to the fact that you appear to be doing this little podcast from a room in your home that where you've kept some elfin individual prisoner with Christmas lights and child's paintings. I think they're
That's
children's
Cardinals.
Paintings.
Mm-hmm.
Cardinal. Where are you broadcasting to us from?
This is actually my wife's space for distance learning. So she's a teacher and does distance learning, I think, once a week now.
Why she's got kind of looks like a kid's classroom. What grade does your wife teach?
Kindergarten.
Oh, that's awesome. That's the best. That's so much sweet. Fun. And that's tough on the kindergartners, too, as well, you know, because my kid's been going to classes because I don't know if you're aware of the state I live in. You know, everybody that comes into the state's required to lick a doorknob when you come into the state of Florida. That's the way
That's
it
how
works.
They do herd immunity, right? You have to lick the doorknob. Right.
Exactly. I want to get back to this punk band you had. So are you musical? Have you always been musical?
Yeah. Pretty much not my entire life. I never took any lessons for anything, but I just wanted to start playing the guitar. So I picked it up and learned a few things. And then much later on, I started a wonderful glam punk band.
So can we draw a straight line from your ninth grade guitar club at TJ to your glam punk band?
I guess, but it's more of a... I was into to glam rock in the 80s because, you know, hair metal and everything is perfect for a 12-year-old boy.
Of course.
But you decide, you sound like a punk rocker. You do. You sound like a. There's a little anger just beneath the surface. Yeah. I want to get to it. I want to scratch. I want to pick that scab and get to that anger right now. So, Death by Sexy wore feather boas and makeup and toured the Midwest and visited a series of questionable venues. So, I want to break down this band because this is, to me, in all of your bio information, this is the most fascinating part. So, you have a. I guess you would consider it a not limited, but not an expert level of guitar ability. Would that be accurate?
Yeah, no, we purposely avoided solos. I'll put it that way.
Oh, God.
You tour and with this other guy that you were in the band with. Tell us about the makeup. What was the appearance? What would we see if we went on stage to see
like a Gwar situation?
So have you know T-Rex?
Sure,
yeah. I know T-Rex. Yeah.
T-Rex, like big hair, feather boas, eyeliner, you know, nail polish.
Right.
Not full on like Twisted Sister makeup, but
right.
You know, enough to
a classy escort.
Yes, a classy escort.
Thank you.
Enough to scare the moms in athletic gear at the coffee house we played at 11 a.m. in the morning in Cleveland.
How did you get booked in a coffee house?
We went there, and the guy organizing the show, he told us we were going to play a skate park at midnight. But when we got there, he's like, "Oh, the show's canceled, but I got a show for you tomorrow, man." And so we're like, "Oh, cool." And so we roll in. It's like this little coffee house.
At 11 in the morning?
Yeah.
If you put a Death by Sexy on at 11 in the morning? Oh, my God.
We're like, free coffee. Okay, we'll play. No problem.
So musically, was this... did you do like an hour set? Was it a regular? Did you ever play a bar or anything like that?
Oh yeah, yeah. We around here we played like the Black Cat and all the
scene. Yeah.
That's a real band.
Yeah.
It's a real band.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But Mike, remember, it's only two people. That to me is makes it even more sort of intriguing. That it's
how do you get the T-Rex sound with just two individuals?
So the interesting thing was I split my guitar sound. One went to a regular guitar amp with distortion, and the other one I played clean through a bass amp. So I split the guitar signal into two different amps. So I got the real low end with the bass amp.
Smart.
Right.
And the high end with the regular guitar amp. So that's sort of how cool. We did it.
Okay, go. Also, yeah, I've got tons of cool. Yes, go ahead.
I feel like we're doing to Jason what family members and loved ones do to us about. So you record into a tape deck? Jason,
curious because he's really being a little cryptic about this, and I'm trying to get some answers out of him.
But if he, Jason, we don't want to be disrespectful if you had some sort of following and you're able to tour around the country. Did you have success?
Not really, no.
Oh.
And Death by Sexy was the name of the band. Did you have a persona? Or were you, you weren't Jason when you got it. Did you have a pseudonym when you got up there on stage?
At first I did. I was called J.R. Death. And the drummer was called Dex Sexy. So,
and so your partner was a drummer. It was just you and the drummer.
Just me and the drummer, yeah. Sort of like a White Stripes kind of thing happening there.
Yeah, sort of.
Did you ever record?
Yeah, we record. We have like three or four albums on Spotify that you can listen to with the ding.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. Yeah. Oh, there you go. Okay. All right. Congratulations.
I didn't realize got to plugs already.
Wow. That's it. Oh, there's. Hey, hi, Sean.
Hi, Sean.
How are you? Sean,
I'm
you haven't put. What did he say?
He was actually here the whole time.
Yeah, he was.
Oh, you were here the whole time.
Hey, right. Like Jack Diamond.
That's been here the whole time. That's very, very exciting. So, obviously a very important part of your life, or
oh, yeah,
or insignificant, or what? Okay.
Yeah. All right.
Talk about, as far, you know what I never talk about because it is kind of a swim in Lake Mead, but when you say, you're talking about the our terrestrial show when we were taken off WJFK. It was, you know, you say it was devastating. It was devastating. I always wanted to get a fan's perspective. What, you know, do you have to give anything you want to say about that period of time? You know, go ahead. I'll just swim in my ego for a minute.
It just sucked, man. You know, you guys have been with me for my entire life, basically. And then it was so rudely ripped away from me. It was like I couldn't hear my best friends, you know, sitting around and shooting the S. For a period of time. Plus, it got replaced by effing sports talk, which is the worst. I hate sports talk. It's the worst. Way to live.
Would you be getting ready for shows and listening to Donna Mike initially and then the Mike O'Mara show? And that'd be part of your routine? Or did you get to listen during workout? Like, I'm just trying to figure out like what your routine was to listen to. To the superstation.
It was for most of the time. It was listening during my commute. Like we said before, I had a long bus ride from Woodbridge to Alexandria every day when I went to school. So I just listened to you guys the entire time. And I get home, I listen to you and play video games. And it's just something I would do all the time. Just
you enjoy how we rail against Northern Virginia, and because when you have that Manassas Woodbridge connection, why don't you? I'm going to put you on the spot here, Jason. I want you to take your time and lay this on me. I'd like you to tell me the best thing about the area of Manassas Woodbridge, Northern Virginia, and B, the worst thing.
That's
about
a good question.
And you can go in whatever order you wish. Sometimes I find it's easier for people to pull the worst things out of the area.
Really?
You think, Rob? You think? Yep.
So currently, the best thing about living in Northern Virginia is the diversity of the kind of food that we can get around here. Okay. There's so many different kinds of restaurants.
Especially because you're living in Falls Church now, right? You're living in Falls Church?
Yeah, Falls Church.
That is a great crossroads, great cultural crossroads there now.
Yeah, you can go get Afghan food. You can go get, they have that huge Eden Center where you can get all sorts of Vietnamese kind of stuff.
Right.
The worst thing probably about Manassas is right on the edge where Northern Virginia becomes kind of redneck Virginia.
You're spot on. I was a resident.
Mike, do you get the feeling that if you asked a Manassas resident the best thing about Manassas, they would not say the diversity?
Oh, no.
Just wondering.
No, they would answer. It would be a three-word answer. I don't know.
But that might be just one word to them.
I don't. Yeah, it is that. I always found Manassas, if we're speaking about Devil Town.
A son of Manassas.
I am a son of Manassas.
A proud
and
son.
I will say, a proud son. Manassas was a suburb that didn't know it was a suburb.
Bingo.
Manassas was close to the seat of power in the United States, Washington, D.C., with some of the great minds, just minutes from the technology corridor near Dulles Airport. Yet managed to keep its dumb factor at an all-time high, 24/7. It was special that way. You were born in Manassas?
Living in a devil town.
There it is. Yes.
Good song.
I'm sure you liked my Manassas shtick. The city rejected me. The little city of Manassas.
Oh, no.
And you left them.
Sad, right?
F them sideways.
How much time did you spend in Manassas growing up?
I was there till third grade, man. And then a lot of my friends who were local, who went to the regular high school, they hung around Manassas too. So there was a lot of involvement in, railroading and Civil War crap.
There were some festivals.
Look, I hope we're communicating this to our national audience. I really want to make sure you understand. When you talk about, he just mentioned, all right, I am not exaggerating here. He just mentioned two things about my former home.
The battlefield.
Manassas, Virginia. I know that. I'll get to. Jesus Christ, don't they let you know that? They let you know that there's a bloody, nasty ass battlefield right down on every corner in Manassas. They let you know that. But when he talks about the railroading,
Yes.
That's really, in the city of Manassas, mm-hmm. one of the best things they have going. And a bunch of these douchebags come into town with their conductor hats on and their little engineer hats on
yes.
and play model trains. And you would think it was the goddamn World's Fair
when it was coming into our town. They shut down the city. They
you know what the high point is? Do you know what the high point is? There's only one high point at that railroad festival.
What's that?
It's some guy that's got a, if you follow Curious George, he's got a man in the yellow hat, and he stirs kettle corn. And that's the biggest GD exciting thing that happens all year.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So true.
Kettle corn's good. I like kettle corn.
Right. yeah, kettle corn. Hey, that kettle corn man coming. That kettle corn man coming.
You gotta
back.
Look for the yellow hat. You gonna get some kettle corn? Yellow hat. Right.
It's oh god. And then of course they do have 4th of July. They do have fireworks. And I recorded the best one I ever saw in Manassas from start to finish. And here it is. You can hear the whole thing right now. Thanks for coming. That's the fireworks in Manassas. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Jason and Mike, I think you could double down on this. The problem with Manassas is it has a confidence of Arlington. It just doesn't know it's Manassas.
It does not know it's Manassas, right?
I think you're right.
Yeah.
I think you're right.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly right. This is our Northern Virginia segment.
It's the Northern Virginia corner, Mike.
Yeah, exactly. Jason, my opinion, I think you ought to bring back Death by Sexy. And if you decide to bring him back, we'll give you a forum to, you'd have to set it up probably in a bigger room, but not really.
No,
it's just you
guys.
And the drummer.
Maybe a live show.
Just two guys
do that. Before we let you go, anybody you want to say hello to on the Mike O'Mara show?
Yeah, I want to wish happy birthday to my wife, Meg. Her birthday Saturday. I want to say hi to my boy, Sean, although he's just right behind me. So I could just
cool kid. I like Sean already. That's I like sweet. Sean. I wish you were in our neighborhood. He'd be a friend of my son's. I can tell. Yeah, I can tell. I literally, when you are, I don't want to brag, but when you're the father of a bright child, you can recognize other bright kids. He's not gifted yet. He's being tested.
Mike, you don't have to be the father.
You're talking to a magnet man.
I know, but he's smart. He's a smart kid.
And you don't have to be the father of a bright kid to recognize brightness. Just let me say that.
We got to take a break. Jason Griffin Hagen, thank you very much. God bless you for your support. Keep supporting the show. Another fabulous talking head. And to everybody listening, Death by Sexy. We'll take a break and come back with the home cage right here on the Mike O'Mara Show, everybody. Let's open up the audio vault for today. Take it away, Rob.
Who is the captain now?
Oh, dear.
Digital!
Oh, no!
Dumpster! Digital!
Fun is the best thing to have.
Dumpster!
The digital dumpster.
Audio oddities and digital diversions. Don't miss the digital dumpster every day on the Mike O'Mara Show.
So metal!
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by Harry's. Hey, you shouldn't have to choose between a great shave and a fair price. With Harry's, you don't have to. They give you award-winning blades at factory direct prices. And for a limited time, Harry's is offering their starter set plus a free travel-size body wash at harrys.com/TMOS. My Harry's razors, and I have two of them in both parts of my teeny tiny little bathroom down here in Florida. I love it because I keep one in that lovely little handle holder that they have, that little sterling silver box. Looks
it
like something
comes in
like
handy, weighted holder.
It looks it's like a baby holder. Version of that thing that Oscar bought for his mantle.
That's
it's
exactly
a little
what
silver
I was going to say.
Yeah.
That's and it really looks like that, and it's fantastic. Hey, but they've embraced centuries of blade making tradition. They bought a German razor blade factory that's been making blades for over 100 years. They've supported the Mike O'Mara Show for over 100 years as well, which I think is spectacular. because we all know about the Gothic arch.
Yes,
that's the shape that creates the blade mm-hmm. that's strong at the base, sharp at the tip.
No, Mike, the Gothic arch used to review movies on Channel 4.
I can't believe my shave is so incredibly close. Harry's.com. We're talking about Harry's. They're fantastic. Enough of this tomfoolery. For a limited time, Harry's has made their exclusive offer even better for our listeners. New customers can get a special offer and a Harry's starter set and body wash at Harry's.com/TMOS. You get a 5-blade razor, weighted Truman handle, foaming shave gel, a travel blade cover, and a travel size body wash. There's never been a better time to try Harry's. Go to Harry's.com/TMOS and redeem your offer now. And now we can separate it because Harry's won't know what we're talking about. I have to tell you, the Gothic Arch.
Yes.
You know, it's like, this is absolutely amazing. I'm posing with my pitchfork. American Gothic Arch. There you go, everyone. Fantastic. I'm Arch Camp. Let me go.
From the four corners of the World Wide Web and into your digital device, it's what you need to know.
So great.
This is the homepage.
Yes, it is. Okay, we got a big bunch of news about Tiger Woods right now. The LA County Sheriff has revealed the primary cause of the wreck that seriously injured Tiger Woods back in February. It's speeding. According to the investigation, Tiger was driving 84 to 87 miles per hour at the moment when he crashed into the median. That's nearly twice the posted speed limit of 45, and it was also a downhill curvy stretch of road. The vehicle was still traveling at 75 miles per hour when it collided with a tree on the other side of the roadway, more than 100 yards away, so there was no braking that went on. They said no signs of impairment either, but there's still some question as to whether Tiger was conscious when he crashed into the median or whether he'd fallen asleep or was otherwise out of it. Nothing on Oscar's theory that, you know, maybe he was just deciding to.
And so all of this information, I guess, comes from the equivalent of the black box that's in the car, right? I guess it like records.
Not all of it, but there is a chunk of it. Tiger was dazed when the authorities first arrived. We'll get to the black box in a second.
Okay, sorry.
He didn't remember the accident or driving. Maybe he was in shock. But there's also this. Rob mentioned the black box, the data recorder, which showed that he was hitting the gas.
Mm. Wow.
And there was no pressure at all on the brake. So, it's weird. Officials say it's possible he inadvertently stepped on the gas instead of the brake when he realized he was losing control. They also say there's no evidence Tiger was distracted. Specifically, they don't believe he was on his cell phone during the crash. For the record, this didn't have to be public. This is significant to me.
Yeah.
Tiger waived his right of privacy and authorized the release of the accident report. I think maybe, Tiger's consulted. He's got a team. Is that a sarcastic A-OK?
Okay, because one of the best athletes in the world is going to not have the reaction time of a jungle cat and hit the wrong pedal by accident.
Yeah, really, he's sort of putting himself in the same frame as a senior citizen at a farmer's market. Because that's normally when this kind of thing happens.
My two cents.
Yeah, that's a
How
valid
about
point, I think.
He is medicated for his back. Well, they said no signs of impairment.
Mm-hmm.
So that doesn't leave much open there. You'll never know. I believe that with all my heart. You'll never know what's going on. After it was released, he put out, Tiger did, his own statement, although he didn't address his alleged speeding or the accident itself. He said, quote, "I received word that their investigation has been completed and closed. I'm so grateful to both of the Good Samaritans who came to assist me and called 911. I am also thankful to the LASD, that's Los Angeles, what is it?
Speeding Department.
The deputies, the firefighter, paramedics for helping me so expertly at the scene and getting me safely to the hospital.
I don't know if there's any truth to it.
We have to be very clear. This is a complete theory. It's a stretch. I don't buy into it necessarily, it would seem to me, Oscar, a hell of a stretch.
I'm a life like that. I'm a podcaster, not an attorney.
I saw on Reddit.
He actually wanted to do damage to himself.
Mike, Lloyds of London doesn't want to hear that either. You know?
No. Mm-mm.
Right.
No.
By the way, it's the Masters today. Oh, I didn't do my Masters thing. Maybe I'll do it tomorrow.
I don't know if there's any truth to it, but I saw a Reddit thread. There's a rumor that Tom Kite switched the pedals in his car.
Tom Kite. Even your golfers, you bring up are ancient.
You have, well, I was between that and Lanny Watkins. I thought Tom
Lanny
Kite
Watkins is ancient, too.
Tom Kite would be funnier. Not
use a new one. Brooks Koepka or something like that.
That's not funny.
I love, you know that my number one get And have you ever pursued Shaquille O'Neal? Have you ever tried? Because I've asked you a thousand times.
Yeah, I have, and I continue to. They're not non-responsive. I'll stay on it. I do.
All right, that's good. Shaq is one of my favorite human beings on the planet. He was in an Atlanta area Zales jewelry store looking to purchase some new earrings. He saw a guy who was asking how much he still had to pay on an engagement ring he had on layaway. Shaq walked up and offered to pay it off for him. At first, the guy didn't want to accept it, but they talked about it. He eventually agreed. Shaq didn't intend on the story getting out. I guarantee you he didn't.
That's my favorite thing about the really classy person like that. You know who's the same way as John Cena? John Cena does so much stuff.
Good guy, John Cena.
And doesn't want anyone to know about it. But yeah.
Well, someone was filming him at the store because he was Shaq, and he gets videoed because that's what he does. During the NBA after show on TNT, he talked about this, and Rob's got the audio about Shaq buying the guy's ring. Pretty cool.
I went in there to get some loop earrings, and I seen the guy come in. He was just so shy. He was saying, hey, how much do I owe to pay off my ring? It was just, and I was like, my man, how much is the ring? And this is something that I do every day. The other day, me and my mom went furniture shopping, and this lady, she had an autistic daughter. Mm. And, you know, she was also, you know, looking to pay for some furniture, and I just took care of her. So I'm into making people happy. So whenever I leave the house, I just try to do a good deed.
Isn't that great?
One of the dummy broadcasters mentioned it. What the hell were you doing at Zales? Like, Zales is the common man's jewelry store. He has a line of jewelry at Zales.
Yeah. Ah,
there it is. Okay, so he was in there for a reason.
Till we see him on TMZ once the pandemic lifts and people can go about their business or subsides, not lifts. And you hear people say, I got to pay my mortgage. Hi, Shaq. I'm on with my mortgage. Every time someone sees them,
it would be
they're
more subtle
than paying a bill.
It would be more subtle than that. It'll be like at Starbucks, and it would just be like, "Oh, I'm sorry, I'll order in a second. I just need to pay off this mortgage. One second, a latte.
I can't afford this car. How can I possibly get to work without my vehicle that I can't afford to make the payments on?
Sickly child, a latte.
Thank you very much. We appreciate it. This is great news for me. John Stewart is announced that his new show will be called The Problem with Jon Stewart, and it'll premiere sometime this fall. It'll be on Apple TV Plus. They just locked me in as far as that's concerned. So if you want to see it, you'll have to sign up for another streaming service. But hey, you get a talent like that, Apple, you've done it. You've done the right thing. It sounds like it'll be loosely similar to The Daily Show, which is fantastic. Mm-hmm. We talked about The Gaping Hole because of their bad casting, in my opinion, on The Daily Show. And I wish I was more of a John Oliver guy, but I'm not. I need my Stewart. I need my Jon Stewart back on
TV. You like American people on TV.
Yeah, so it'll be similar to The Daily Show. That's not true. Stop that. It'll just focus on one issue per episode. That's fine. Each episode will be an hour long. It also won't necessarily be nightly or weekly. The episodes will just be released when they're ready. And they're kind of like our show, right?
Whatever.
It's quick. Daily?
Daily, we do, unless something happens. I still, because it's a week old.
And it hasn't been 20 days.
Reflecting. Mm-hmm. Thank you. It sounds like Apple has made a significant investment in the show, and it's already being cleared for multiple seasons. So Jon Stewart's back. I love that man.
Great. So you don't have the Apple TV?
See if you can get Jon Stewart on the show. Love to get him on the show. Mention that I did that Larry King skit with him a million years
ago. Tell him we know Rory Albanese.
That Apple streaming service, I subscribed a couple months ago, and the past 2 months, because of the pandemic, they've renewed me for free for 2 months.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
So you really should jump in because he might be able to get
some
free
content. They did the morning show, right? That was Apple TV Plus, wasn't that the morning show with Jennifer Aniston?
So. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, pretty
don't
good stuff there.
Don't watch Cherry; very depressing.
That's a very Cherry. I've heard bad things about it; it is too depressing.
It's about the opioid pandemic, and you just sit there, you're like, "Oh my God, I never want to watch this again."
Yeah, I watched it, and I said, "I'm just not laughing."
Okay, here are five cleaning mistakes. Here are five cleaning mistakes, Rob, that you might not even know you're making.
All right.
You'll know you're making them because you are a neat freak.
Fastidious.
Nobody keeps a house like Rob Spiewak.
Thank you.
Dusting surfaces with a dry rag. You don't want to do that.
Of course not.
It sends dust flying through the air, so it just will resettle someplace else. Not cleaning your pillows. You should wash your pillowcases once a week. But what about the actual pillows? They collect a lot of bacteria and oil, so you should wash them every couple of months. Just check the instructions on the tag. You throw them in the washer.
What about Mike Lindell? What does he say about that?
Mike Lindell, I just think you don't have to touch it. It'll turn you. It'll improve your sex life.
Oh,
I love my pillow. My pillow is so fantastic. I just don't. I want to make sure you buy it if you're white. Cleaning stainless steel in a circular motion. This one I didn't know. It can leave marks.
Marks.
So instead, look for the grain in the steel and scrub with the grain, not in the circle.
Oscar's
drifting off on this because he doesn't have any of these appliances to rub down.
No, but he does have a. He does
have the appliance.
He has a stainless steel fork. He has a fork he can clean.
Yes, yum yum. Forgetting to clean your remotes and light switches. There are two spots in our home we touch a lot, and most people don't clean them enough. You know, one of the main reasons I don't mess with the remote is I'm usually watching TV when that would happen. And if you clean it, you're going to change the channel.
It's true. Idiot.
Thank you. Come That's in. The dumbest thing I've said all week. And washing your windows on a sunny day.
Carla comes in and says, why are you watching Pioneer Woman?
Hey, I really like Pioneer Woman.
Here's a question for you.
Rhea Drummond.
If you watch Rhea, here's a question. Does her husband ever have an excuse that doesn't take him out of the house? She's like, we're stuffing jalapenos today, and my husband drove 80 miles to fix a fence post, so he's not here.
I think he's in town. I think he's in town doing some plumbing work.
Yeah, I
you know
think
what
so.
I mean.
Yeah.
Washing your windows on a sunny day. Glass cleaner dries too fast in direct sunlight. There it is.
Oh, okay.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, we've gotten to the end of the homepage. A little something something. There's a 59-year-old guy named Kevin Wayne McLuven. He's a home inspector in Oxford Township, Michigan. A few weeks ago, he was inspecting a house for some new buyers, and the owner of the home happened to look at her nanny cam.
Ooh.
They saw Kevin doing something horrifying in one of the bedrooms. She saw Kevin getting it on with a stuffed Elmo doll.
Oh.
And when he was finished, he put the doll back where he found it. Gross. Kevin was just hit with charges of aggravated indecent exposure and malicious destruction of property.
Yes.
The judge also banned him from being alone inside any homes. When reporters asked Elmo,
yes,
I'm sorry, not professional.
When reporters asked Elmo about the incident, he said,
I thought I was just being tickled.
Oh. I'm sorry.
I blew that. I really like that kicker, and I blew it. I had two lines. I
thought I was just being tickled, and the other one was, "What's all the fuss about?" What's all the fuss about? Because he liked.
We'll be right back. Hello there. I know it might seem counterintuitive and maybe even silly to take advice from a promo, but I'm something of a famous radio pitchman, so this is something you can believe in. My mother always said that you can trust a man with facial hair.
Excuse me.
And if you have any confidence at all in the wisdom of a mother, it's time to stare at my drawn-on mustache and heed my words. Do you need a little more laughter in your dark, secluded, lonely life? Sure you do. You need the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show. For pennies a day, the Bonus Show will take you from zero to hero. And all the ladies will be digging your scene. Grab it at MikeO'MaraShow.com. You'll be glad you did. And we'll be glad for you. Buy the Bonus Show and make me smile. A big, flashy, fake, insincere smile. You earned it, Pajango. Might want to turn my microphone on. Sorry about that. This portion of the Mike O'Mara Show brought to you by Bloomscape. If you have a green thumb, that's great, but some of us need a hand. That's why I love Bloomscape. They make it easy to find the perfect plants for your space.
Space!
You put it in your space!
Bloomscape delivers healthy plants right to your door, plus all the grow how you need to help them thrive. Find the perfect plants for your space, whether you got tons of light or hardly any. We all ordered plants from Bloomscape. Oscar and I got money trees that
They're
are beautiful and hardy and survive and grow. And Rob got a bamboo palm.
That's even prettier now than when we unpacked it. It's really loving its space. It's awesome.
Just like you.
Just like you.
The plants are gorgeous. The packaging is amazing. When we mention the packaging, I have to, when they arrived, I've never seen anything packaged with more care. That's why these plants look so good when they get there. They arrive safe and sound, ready to display, and plants make any room look great. Plus, the new outdoor bloom kits from Bloomscape are exactly what we all need right now. It's the easiest, most convenient way to get growing. Shop a variety of young plants, accessories, tools, and supplies. Everything you need to get your patio or your porch springtime ready. And the Grow How team is always available to answer any of your plant care questions. I really want you to check them out. Get 15% off plant orders of $100 with promo code TMOS at Bloomscape.com. That's 15% off plant orders of $100 or more at Bloomscape.com. Promo code TMOS. Oh, wow, I'm sorry I lost it there, but, you know, I just don't do the Elmo voice, and that's what made me laugh with that. There are a lot of
weird people
out there.
Was Michael an Elmo kid? Was Elmo a factor in his growing up?
Daughters were, yeah. Back in the day. You know, when you hear a pervy move like that, not only am I watching The Keepers on Netflix, which is the story about the archdiocese and a priest, a pedophile priest in Baltimore, you know, fresh out of the gate, I checked my news feed today from AP, and there's look up Timor. I think it's team. The country is Timor. There's a priest who was defrocked in the United States. He goes over to this third world country, running a girls' school or a kids' school, and he continues. It's in Southeast Asia, I believe. East Timor, I think, might be the place where it is. And my God, does he not do the same crap again? This disgusting, horrible pedophilia that goes on. And I'm reading that. That's a fresh one today. Mm. I have to point out, being a former Catholic, you know what? If the Catholic Church was a corporation, they would have been out of business years ago with this pattern. Not only this pattern of you know, the priests in general doing this kind of crap, and the nuns and some, you know, there are many stories about these Irish boarding schools where the nuns were horribly abusive to the kids. But then you've got this massive archdiocese cover-up in these circumstances. It's horrible. And I just wanted to say, you know, it's one thing watching a documentary that took place back in the 1960s. You can semi-detach from that, even though the people are scarred for life. But, you know, and then you pick up the paper, and first thing in the morning, you're reading another incident of this.
It's top of mind. You're like,
yeah.
Oscar,
it speaks to power.
Yeah.
It speaks to power.
Yeah.
That when you give people that have that chip, that evil chip within them, opportunity. What's that line you used to say? A man is as faithful as his options.
Oh, yeah. It's Chris Rock's line.
A variant of that would be an evil person is as evil as his options. Mm-hmm. So you take someone, and really, I start with the fact that I think if you talk about the majority of people of faith that go into a what they would call a calling, whether it be a nun, a priest, a minister, all that, I think the vast majority are people of goodwill. I really do. I want to believe that with all my heart. But I also think that in the event that you have these people that are doing these type of things, that I think from the get-go, these people know that this will feed their evil.
I think
they will
documented.
Be able to do
They're
that.
Like, this is a way to get access.
This is access, but Mike, it's and not lack just of a, punishment.
It's not
that
just
type
a church.
Of
it's yeah. It's and
we've you know, seen a
private
trend,
schools. It's
Boy Scout
it's,
leaders. Right, yeah,
it's, well, you know, we've also in the past 4 years we've seen a trend politically where the power that it can be abused. You have the power and you push your luck.
Yeah, congressmen,
exactly.
Senators,
yes.
That type of thing. It's the power trip. But let me just delineate people of the cloth. And I'm sorry that I've late in my life kind of flipped on this, but I have. I know I'm late to the party where I'm speaking about it a lot. This documentary has, you're getting people that when you're talking about hiding behind the idea of being a holy man, that to me allows, and in the Catholic Church specifically, their level of protection, because they didn't want to damage the brand. They didn't want to do that. Clergymen
absolutely
that are doing, it's just And I believe it still goes on today.
Yeah.
It still goes on today. And we want it. And people will believe anything.
Yeah.
People will believe anything. And if you take a child that is now a grown-up that was probably horribly abused and put her up against Father Roaming Hands,
yeah,
and you've got this particular situation where the people that grew up in the church, that went to church every Sunday and saw how holy and good he was, they don't want to believe that. This is the way I was at. That's what they've got that behind them.
Yeah,
which makes them even more insidious and evil. It's just I haven't been able to stop thinking about it. I'm sorry to keep bringing it up.
I've watched the first two episodes of The Keepers, and I need to actually take a pause because it's as you predicted, very tough to watch. Really hard to watch.
One of the episodes, one of the ladies, perhaps the lady that had the allegations that were most damaging to this priest, discusses in the 90s when this all surfaced again. This was abuse that went on in the late 60s, early 70s, and then resurfaced when like 100 women came forward and talked about this particular. Oh, and by the way, there was a guy too that was talking about his abuse. So he did not discriminate between men and women. He just, if there were, I won't get brutally risque with that, but I will tell you that the husband had a conversation with this wife about how they were going to kill him, how he was going to kill him, and she talked him out of it. I would be hard pressed if something happened to one of my kids too. I know you're being selfish, but just taking that person out of the world would be a priority for me. I do the time. I guarantee it. I would do the time. I wouldn't care. And you've seen that. You've where it happened. So I just it's just stunning to me when you read right on the heels of this documentary, I read another incident of this 85-year-old bastard that's out in the middle of nowhere in the jungle and putting note on his door.
It is,
you know?
Southeast Asia. It's East Timor. Is it?
Yeah.
And that's
the most vulnerable people in
of
the world.
Course,
he's putting a list on his door for who gets to sleep in his bedroom that night.
Mm.
That bastard. Mm. And then he admitted to some people, I am a pedophile. Just evil, evil incarnate, you know? May he rot. And I guess his trial might be going on right now. I don't know, but it's disgusting. And I hate it. I hate everything about
but
it.
But
your
thesis statement of this segment, when you said if the Catholic Church was a business, they would be out of business.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So the thing, and what bothers me also is not the cover up, of course, but when they go into protective mode and they bring out their showbiz priests.
Right.
That do the media tour. I can't think of his name right now, but the one guy.
That Donlin on NBC?
Yes, that guy.
That guy, yeah. Slicky boy.
All this. He's all this.
He's super confident.
There's a part of me that says, look, this, for like 20, excuse me, man, if I can learn how to talk. For 20 years, we've been hearing about
these
pedophiles.
Have a priest look at your throat.
Finally. Like, and these, like, at least for me, like, I still want to believe that there's some good rooted in the church. And it's going to be a long slog back, and it continues to be, even for like someone like my mom, to get dealt back in.
Yeah, because mom too. My mom was was devastated by this because she was a devout Catholic. It was, and there are plenty of devout Catholics. I don't question anybody's faith.
No,
I really don't. I don't question anybody's faith. What I question is a corporation structure that protects this and still continues to do the things they do because they are protecting that. And they're also, it's got to stop. It has got to stop. And you have to implement rules that are just the same as in secular society, where you would have doctors, you know, you go into an exam room and you're a woman and there's a doctor in there who's a male, you bring a woman in there with you. That's the way it happens. It's happening everywhere now. You got to do it. You got to watch people. You got to watch these guys.
Oh, yeah.
You got to watch all guys. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
That's just the way. You got to protect them if they're not doing anything, and you got to protect the women if they are, the potential of being hinky bastards. Anyway, hope he rots. I'd like to see the kids. Let the kids stone him. Tiny little rocks.
Well, I'd like you want a SEAL Team 6 to roll it and extricate the guy and just bury him in the desert.
Yeah. That might be too quick. We got to take a break. when we come back, let's lighten it up a little bit because there was a beautiful, beautiful farewell meeting last night. A wonderful, touching send-off for a very good man.
Thing
a man
of beauty.
That we love very much on this show. I'm talking about Oscar's father, who's going back to the place he loves. We will be right back with more fun, more thrills on the Mike O'Mara Show. I was in pain on my angry deathbed.
Oh, boy, you.
It's my aching belly, my diverticulitis, which is flaring up.
You're going to cry, shitty baby. Huh? You're going to fucking cry.
Look at him, he's crying.
It's going to be embarrassing, but since I have no material left on the show today, and I'm cloudy, and I'm having trouble reading, I will tell you it's because I wore too tight pants.
Does stress get at it?
Yes, the stress of that last segment. Stress of old promos, the stress of no guests.
I drink your milkshake, oh, Eli.
Mike O'Mara is killing himself for you. Are you so selfish that you can't show some damn common decency and buy a bonus show subscription? He gives and gives day after day, and you sit out there with your hand out like a selfish You're killing him. How dare you? Click the banner at MikeO'MaraShow.com and buy a bonus show subscription today, for the love of God.
Good read.
That's Twitch.
I love that. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by Sleep Number. I love my Sleep Number bed. I have for years and years. Listen, proven quality. That's what Sleep Number is all about. That is what it's about. A good night's rest helps boost immunity, improve recovery, and increase energy. You need Sleep Number. I've been sleeping on it forever. This is amazing. Sleepers who routinely use their Sleep Number 360 smart bed features get almost 100 hours more proven quality sleep per year based on internal analysis of sleep sessions. And since the pandemic began, Sleep IQ sleepers have gained an average of 53 hours of restful sleep compared to last year. So if you want the best night's sleep ever, keep a consistent sleep schedule. Dim all the lights, sweet baby. Keep your bedroom at about 66 degrees. And most of all, get a Sleep Number bed. I wouldn't sleep on anything else. Remember, a great day starts the night before. Isn't that great? How good is that? My Sleep Number setting is now a 65. So is Carla's. I might be firming mine up tonight, just for fun.
Wacky.
It's the best. Proven quality. I'm a crazy guy. Proven quality sleep is life-changing sleep. Introducing the new Sleep Number 360 C4 Smart Bed. The queen size is now only $14.99, only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com/TMOS. Just make sure, please make sure, when you go in there, they know that Mike O'Mara said ciao.
Thank you.
Welcome back to the show. Oscar's dad's been in country for a very, very long time, but yes. I guess it's the longest
he's ever been in a calendar year.
Really?
In your whole life?
Probably.
Wow.
It's so strange.
That's crazy.
Imagine having that type of father. I wonder why I'm broken.
Oh.
No, I'm fine.
I don't see my dad a lot.
You really don't?
He didn't even as a child.
Well, yeah. He was around a lot for the first few years.
First few years when they were together.
Right. But they split third grade. Third grade. So
grade. And at like, when would you see him after third grade? Was he a weekend guy?
Fifth grade.
Okay, we'll get to that. That's a whole, that's another segment. Make a note.
All right.
So your dad is leaving today?
So my dad is on his way to the airport. I love my father. I know we joke a lot about him leaving and go, and he just does. He swears it's because of his visa, quote unquote. But I know he just likes to leave. It's
sure. Fun.
So, and when I was a kid, I bought into the visa, but then I realized, oh, you can come in and go anytime you want. You got a diplomatic visa.
He's playing you like he's a 90 Day Fiance.
Yes. That's
sad.
So, I get the bat signal to come and see your father because he is leaving the day after. Right. And I think something's wrong. As you know, during this break, we've been putting together a will, a living trust. It's not fun. There's a lot going on. And I say, all right, Mom. I was like, look, we got a lot going on at Podcast Village. Just a quick programming note. The Lincoln Project podcast has Michael Cohen on the show that's dropping today. If you're listening to this,
check that out. That's going to be, boy, oh boy, that's going to be. And yeah. I think he's going to speak freely on that.
Absolutely.
That's going to be something else.
Shout out to Reed Galen, a friend of the show. So we had that episode recorded yesterday evening. So basically the post-production ended up yesterday evening. I called my mom at 8. I said, hey, is everything okay? And I'm basically feeling my mom out. Do I have to drive to Olney at 9 p.m.? Because I said I might be able to leave work at 9. and it's a 40-minute drive to Olney.
So you've set the table for the fact that you are not necessarily going to have to go out.
Yeah, because I gave my dad the big embrace on Sunday, on Easter Sunday. I was like, I love you, Pops. I hope I get a chance to see you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And
so you hug him on Easter, and on the third day, Mom calls again.
So she goes, tu papá te está esperando. And I'm like, which is, your father's waiting for you. And I'm like, all right. I'll get there by 9:30, 9:40. So I scoot from the office and I arrive and I'm like, okay, what's going on? Like, I think something's wrong. And there on the table is my father, dimly lit, like he's about to interrogate me, with a takeout plastic bowl of Kung Pao chicken. And he says to me, sit down. I've been waiting to eat with you.
He's a European eater. It's 10 o'clock. We must break for dinner.
I thought we had a Nexium situation in our family. This is probably not healthy. This is a spicy dish.
Yes. So good ethnic food near there? Was it decent Kung Pao?
It's the Hunan house. They represent when they can.
Good.
But it's cold Chinese
Oscar,
food.
Oscar, come in.
I need to talk to you right now. Here, sit down and have some Kung Pao chicken. Come on. There you go.
So are you still worried at this point? Do you still think
worried,
that there's
worried, and I'm also annoyed because he's like, this is very dramatic. There's
it is.
No nothing. They're like,
I waited to eat.
Yeah,
with
he could have eaten earlier.
I want to tell you something. You're getting it all. Was there any hope like that maybe something's wrong?
No, not at all.
Did he say?
I'll tell you what's going on in the will. It goes to my brother because he's the most responsible.
Yeah,
and then it goes to my sister out of respect to the age differential. And then maybe something to me. All right?
It is 20 minutes shy of 10 p.m. and yet the chopsticks are still connected.
He wanted to see you though, huh? He wanted to see you. Yeah.
So he says, we will eat and then you will help me. And then, so I'm like, all right. I didn't have dinner, so this is perfect. I'll eat some cold Chinese food and talk to my dad.
Sure.
And then he's going over like the to-dos usually and like make sure with mom, and we just got a new alarm company for the house and like all the things that a man that stays with his wife does. But then
the man of the house is transferring power to the other man of the house.
Exactly.
It's what he's doing.
Did you think about setting up the alarm to make sure he couldn't get out instead of people can't get in?
He said, remember, every 2 weeks, drive my car around the block. So... I've been doing that for a lifetime. So,
is this the old Mercedes that he's got?
Yeah, when he had the Jaguar, I did that. It's the Mercedes that I do that. Like, it's everything I do that to make sure.
What year
runs.
Is this car that you're driving around?
It's a
around
modern
the block.
Car. It's a modern Mercedes. But he still, even though I tell him, this is not the Mercedes that used to die in the garage when you left for a year.
Papa, let me tell you about fuel injection.
Thank you. But I have to drive it because he takes the mileage, he writes down the mileage when he leaves. So it all adds up.
Oscarito, exercise the gaskets.
Yeah.
Oh, so you're not going to have a Bueller moment with
that
car, right?
No. Oh,
take it up to the Meadowlands or something.
It's fine. And,
the Meadowlands.
So we're done eating. I scarf it down because we're DJs and we just eat fast. And then he says, you eat so fast. And I'm like, well, I got to drive back to D.C., man.
Yeah.
So.
Hey, man.
He goes, come into my office. So we're going to the office. He goes, necesito ayuda para imprimir mi pasaje, which is I need help printing my boarding pass or my pass. And I said,
that's it. Is that it?
I said,
is that the big
Dad, the big help you need is me printing your boarding pass? And you're going to love this, Mike. A decade ago, you gave me a Samsung laser printer.
Right?
From your home.
Black one, I think, right?
Yes. It's on his desk in his office because it's a all small footprint.
Wow.
And he says, this Samsung has held up okay. Like he paid for it. I'm like, sí, el señor Mike era su printer, no lo usó. He probably never used it. So it was brand new when I brought it. And he said, okay. Tienes que imprimir este pasaje ahora. So he goes, now you have to print this for me. And I said, Dad, I don't mean to be rude, but is this all you asked me here for? He goes, sí, because you do it best.
He wants to make sure it's printed the right way.
Right. This was a power move. This was a power move where he took his, ding-a-ling out and said, watch me do this to this Young impresario.
Then he can snap his fingers and you'll jump.
I feel like how he high? Felt weak, and he said, "Who can I make bend to my will at any moment?" And I sat there because I was like, "Should I call my brother as I was leaving and tell him what just happened? Like, I drove to Oney to print. My mom's fine; she's a damsel in distress. My father has a PhD. He does all of this already."
Yeah.
And did you print it for him?
I printed it for him, and then I was like, "Would you like
the portrait smart or landscape
on your? Would you like the smart pass on your iPhone?" And he goes, "Why not?" So then I had to go through his iPhone and load.
So he can use his phone to board
just in case something breaks out. Just in case. Yeah. And this is the key: when you go through the iPhone, he goes, "What about my baggage?" Because it asks you, like, "Do you have any baggage?"
Right.
And this is beautiful. I go through and I add the two bags. I get him an aisle seat because he didn't want to pay the $16 for the upgrade. But I said, "It's only $16, Dad. Like, don't be so cheap."
Flying a long way, Dad.
Yeah, Dad.
Yeah. And then he goes, "Okay, does he say $6? He's adding it up in his head. And so it's like $85. And he says, "Okay, what do we do now?" I said, "Well, now we pay." And he says, "I don't have my wallet. I paid the $85.69.
Is he testing you, Oscar?
I don't know. It was like a big power move. And I'm fine paying the no big deal.
Does the $85?
But he looked at me like a child and said, "I don't have my wallet. Please, Dad. Like, or please, son, pay this right now and let's get it over with."
Does the $85
could be the move.
Does it include the Chinese food?
No. It was just so funny because it was like I had wronged him somehow. And he was doing these weird things to me, but I know he didn't mean it that way. It was just that's what he does.
That test might get you into the will, though.
That's what he does.
I'm thinking the same thing. I'm thinking that he might not be grateful now, but that might be. It might have been the test. Yeah. But let's see how much he truly cares.
Does he love me $85, love?
It was so funny because he like did the whole like, "I don't have my wallet," like your friend does when he knows you're going to pay for it somehow.
Sure.
When you're out to dinner that never pays for any bill. And so he didn't even reach for his pockets. He's like, "I don't have my wallet." So I was like, "Dad, I got a wallet. I'll do it." I guess the true takeaway is this, is because I don't know if is it Munchausen syndrome? I don't know what it is that you look for abusive parents to love you. I want him to accept me. I hug him so tight. I'm like, "Dad, I love you. Look, I just read an article about
Stockholm syndrome.
The Brazilian." Thank you.
What is Munchausen?
It's when Munchausen
is when
kid.
You project when you
poison
project
your kid and take
an illness
hospital
on a kid
over
or something.
And over and over.
I believe so. Yeah.
Right. You never did that.
Two different syndromes.
I have papers, Mike, to prove that I was innocent.
I said to my dad, I said, "Look, there's a Brazilian variant going around, and they don't have COVID in order. Do you have to go to Bolivia?" And he looks at me. He says, "Yes, because you know my visa."
That's it. Nothing else, right?
That's it.
That's it.
That is it.
And was there, and I don't want to be super, super schmaltzy here and maudlin about this, but was there a level of, you know, he is going off into the great unknown and, you know, he isn't as young as he used to be.
Yes.
He's more, a little more frail than he's been in years past. And was that making it a little more of a, you know, of a tougher goodbye? Did that make it a little tougher?
I'm still, because my mom still holds on to, I think what would be almost 50 years of sadness for her. I am happy because I have my dad, right? My mom's just like, he's always been gone. She's made peace with it, whatever.
Right.
My mom looked so happy when she saw me doing all this for my father, not because her son was helping her husband, it's because
her husband's like, gonna be out of the house.
She's timing out. She's like, "Oh my god, in like 12 hours, it's over."
That's it. Okay.
And then I like, there's nothing but to be like, "Mom's happy, dad seems really happy. Big hug.
Going.
You're 80. Yeah. This may be the last time, but it looks like you're both happy doing with what you want in life. So I'm okay.
That's fine. That's fine. And at least you went out there. You can sleep at night.
Yes.
Sleep at night. You took care of his boarding pass.
Good boy.
We'll take a break and be back with Rob's digital dumpster right here on the Mike O'Mara
Show. This is He Wants Candy.
Well, we should have something sweet.
She loves candy.
Airheads, they're sour. Sour Patch. The watermelon flavored ones.
Sweet Tarts.
Nerds. Black Licorice.
Shannon.
Good and Plenty. Chocolate.
A Hershey bar.
Peanut butter cup.
Mary Jane's.
Watermelon. I ate all of my favorite candies.
Don't worry, Peach. You can stock up on all your favorites through the Mike O'Mara Shopping Center. Click the banner at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, everybody. Oh, hi, Pete. Sorry about that. Spring is here. You better get your lawn back on track. It's wonderful. It's a snap, thanks to Sunday. Sunday is more than a lawn care product. It's a customized lawn plan that works with nature. They take out all of the guesswork and unwanted chemicals so you can grow a beautiful lawn that's better for everybody. All I did when I used Sunday was just go to Sunday.com. I put in my home address. I got their free lawn analysis tool, and they took care of the rest. Sunday sends a tailored nutrient plan right to your door, right when you need it. I just took delivery of my second treatment of the season. So easy. All I had to do is attach the ready-to-use pouch to a garden hose and spray. Lawn care used to take up to a whole day. Now it takes less than 15 minutes. You use it just like you're watering your lawn. Mm-hmm. Best of all, this stuff really works. The grass already looks better. My grass is ducky. Let Sunday take the guesswork out of growing a greener, more beautiful lawn this
really
spring.
Really works.
Visit GetSunday.com/TMOS to get $20 off your custom lawn plan at checkout. That's $20 off your custom lawn plan at GetSunday.com. Don't forget that code, TMOS, everybody. Let's open
Turn
it up.
The wheel.
The digital dumpster, people. Take it away, Rob Spiewak.
Mike, I think her name, you'll know her if I remind you. Do you remember the lady that used to work the drive-through window at the Fairfax McDonald's by WJFK?
Yeah, I believe her name was Gwen.
No, I think her name was Ayanna Williams because she broke a record this week when she cut off the world's longest fingernails.
Mm.
Mike, as you know, she has
You remember the lady at the drive because she had big, nasty
fingernails. Yeah, yeah. We used to call
fingernails.
We called them lunch hooks back then.
Right. Yes, I know that.
Mm-hmm. This lady grew her nails for 30 years, and all 10 nails, when you average them out, she lost 24 feet of fingernail.
So those are the ones that curl around.
Yes, and she painted them, and she kept them very pretty.
Yeah, but it's still gross.
It's disgusting. That means that each nail was averaged over 2 feet. They didn't use clippers. They used a small rotary saw. And here's the sound of her getting 24 feet of fingernails cut off.
Here we go. It's a big moment. Okay. We're going to go right here. And make the groove in there. Woo! Good one!
Yay! Instant relief with the thumb. Instant.
Well, what do you think of your new hands?
Stop for a second. What? She's saying instant relief. Why? She was in distress?
Well, I think the weight, it was probably quite a big deal.
Well, geez, I'm sorry, she grew them.
I know. I'm not blaming her or praising her. I'm just providing news.
Think about the willpower to grow them, though.
Yeah, think about the smell of the rotary saw. This Dremel is getting hot.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
Well, we wish her all the best. I don't want to see her toes.
No.
Tom Brady admits that throwing the Lombardi trophy from boat to boat was not smart.
First of all, there was not a lot going through my mind at that point. I mean, that was not smart for a couple reasons. One is, if we drop it, that's a little bit of a problem. But the worst thing that could happen is the edges on that trophy are so sharp.
Yeah.
And had those things clipped one of my boys in the other boat, it would have been an ugly parade.
This is why I hate this tape. Because he probably has let, enough dust settle that he thought maybe this would go away. And then he consulted with all of his PR people and the people that say, here's how you spin it. And that's the best they can do? Calling the trophy pointy? No, not okay.
No, I mean, but it's Tom Brady and Tom Brady. And it's like, who cares now?
But also, this is the type of guy, for anybody else, that trophy would have injured somebody. Right?
Yeah.
But everything goes, it's great in his life.
It gently fell into the hands of his coach and his teammate.
And one of his teammates grabbed it to make sure that it didn't, stopped it, slowed it down before it hit anybody.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I still think the funniest would have been if it was 3 feet short of the boat and it went down into Davy Jones' locker. That would have been fun.
Isn't Tom Brady the type of guy that, let's say he had a coke problem and he got pulled over by the cops? And he's doing blow off his dashboard. Somehow a gust of wind would come and blow all the evidence away, and nothing would ever happen to him.
Yeah. If Daniel Jones had that of the New York Giants, he would be wanting to throw it, and it would slip out of his hands and sever his foot. Hey, by the way, I will backtrack on that if the Giants have a winning season next year.
Are you ready to guarantee that?
Yeah, the Giants will have a winning season. 2021 will be a winning season for the New York Giants.
Can't
Not necessarily
either.
Playoffs, but they will have a winning season. Yeah.
All right, Mike. This is I like this because you deal with people all the time, and people like to rely on buzzwords, things that are hot and current. These are tech startup like infomercials that they've posted on YouTube to make people want to be a part of their tech startup. There seems to be common themes here.
Change and innovation.
Innovation happening.
Innovation lab.
Being disruptive.
Being disruptive.
Very, very disruptive.
I think what's so disruptive?
We work in an open pit, which allows for a lot of collaboration.
Open office space.
Very open.
Yeah.
Very open.
Foster collaboration.
Ping pong is one of the funnest parts of my day.
Our arcade game.
Galaga, Frogger, Tetris, Minecraft.
We also have a full bar.
We serve beer on tap.
Beer on tap. We also have coffee.
The coffee situation is
premium coffee.
Helping people come together.
Create together.
At the end of the day,
I
don't like them.
Yeah. No, Corbin Spee is like, there's no originality, and they all want to do, it's so self-promoting.
It's also dead
that.
Now. Like, mm-hmm. It is, like, you
right.
don't want to.
Well, you can't be in an open pit now.
No.
No.
We're back to IBM days, where everybody has a little cube, and you roll on with life.
Mike, the coffee scene.
Yeah, it's like
scene,
an open pit, and, you know, we're trying not to
strong,
just.
Coffee scene is strong, we have beer on tap.
Yeah, we've got beer on, beer on tap, you know, it's fantastic.
Mike,
so I'm not feeling.
We're going to close with one of the favorite kind of news stories that I have encountered throughout our entire career together. We don't see a lot of them anymore. A lady in Massachusetts, her name is Melissa Surgikoff. She thought it might have been a kidney stone, or the weight gain might have been related to the fact that she'd put on weight because of the pandemic. Do you know where I'm going with this?
Yeah, she had a pup.
Yes, she gave birth on the toilet. Didn't know she was pregnant.
Oh, I did feel a little like flutters, I suppose, but I just kind of thought it was gas. I didn't know what it was. I'm in the middle of the archway of the bathroom, screaming, freaking out. If you look back at it now, like you see there were signs that said, okay, missed menstrual cycle, but that was always normal for me. And yeah, the weight gain, but I just hopped on keto and I said, okay, well then maybe it's my own fault. It's the COVID-15. And even in the ambulance, right, I was 15? Like, how did this happen? Like, I mean, I know how it happened, but I mean, like, really?
Mother and baby doing fine. They've decided to name the child Idiot.
That's so
your digital
dumpster. Don't blame
dumpster.
The child. Yeah, don't blame the child, fault. For God's sakes. Oh, my God. That is nasty.
Splashdown, Mike. That's your digital dumpster.
Wow.
He's such a great Thursday. Swimmer.
You're wonderful.
Did you? Was there video with that? Did you
just
get
of
a
the,
look at
just
it?
Of the lady. Yeah, she looked. You know what she had? Crazy eyes.
Hey, that's it. We got to get out of here. We'll be back tomorrow with a brand new show. I'll have you an update on my vaccine numero dos tomorrow. And to Oscar's father, safe travels.
Ciao,
and,
ciao, Papa.
Yep, yep.
Enjoy yourself in South America and stay safe down there. For Robin Oscar, Mike O'Mara saying so long, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Ciao, ciao.
Want more? Make sure you check out the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show. Get it at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Hello, bye-bye. Tomato? Mm-mm.